The president of Lithuania tells us his country is prepared to cut off Russian oil and gas imports. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That warning for President Gitanas Nausėda is the latest sign of how far European nations could go to tighten penalties on Moscow for its invasion of Ukraine. The U.S. has already banned Russian oil imports, while the U.K. said it will phase them out by the end of this year. The EU, though, as a whole, has set a 2030 target for independence from Russian fossil fuels. In 2019, Lithuania, a Baltic country in close proximity to Russia and the rest of the EU, received about 63% of its oil imports from Moscow. And while the president said halting imports from Russia would create some problems, they're ones Lithuania could overcome economically.
Lithuania, as a country, we established some measures which were very important for our independence and lower exposure to Russia. We established LNG terminal 10 years ago. We did a lot in order to implement infrastructure projects in order to be more secure and less dependent on Russia. Unfortunately, it was not the case in many other countries of Western Europe. And now we see for some countries this is a problem to switch immediately to very strong regime to cut the demand entirely. And we need some transitional periods in order to implement it at 100%. But this would be very powerful measure. And it would change the game immediately and probably will have very good impact on Russia's behavior.
Still, Lithuania gets about 60% of its oil from Russia.
Right now, we don't have any Russian oils because the largest oil refinery in Lithuania decided not to buy the Russian oil, crude oil anymore. And they are buying it from other countries. Natural gas. Yes, we buy a certain part of our demand from Russia. But we are able to replace it by liquid gas in the terminal in Klaipėda. And yes, it would create some tension in our energy system, but it is possible. One exemption is electricity. We still are connected with so-called BRELL system of former Soviet Union. And this connection does not allow to switch to the different systems because we need synchronization. First of all, we have to implement synchronization project, and this is on the way, but will be completed only in 2025. Now we try to speed up this process in order to disconnect faster, and we will see what happens.
So you're saying that you are prepared to cut off your gas and oil supplies from Russia?
Yes, we are ready, as I mentioned. It would create some problems, but those problems would be not critical and wouldn't have very big macroeconomic impact. But we are better prepared for such cut from Russian energy resources than many other countries in the European Union.
Why haven't you cut it off yet?
It is a very complicated project. But even having very ambitious plan to establish it until 2025, we see the possibilities to speed up. But those possibilities depend not only on Lithuania's decision, but also our partners should join. And I'm really proud to say that Latvia and Estonia decided to participate and to trying to speed up this process too. Poland and three Baltic countries are ready to synchronize with continental Europe as soon as possible.
You mentioned the independence LNG terminal. Your country has managed to reduce its dependence on Russia for its natural gas supplies in just 5 years. Do you think what Lithuania has done could act as a sort of blueprint for what other countries could do?
I think our experience could be very interesting for other countries, especially having in mind this LNG terminal. But, you know, from very beginning, Lithuania didn't have any illusions regarding Russia. We treated Russia as a long-term threat. It was not the case among our partners. Some of them, we are talking, discussing the possibility to engage with Russia. engage not only in energy field, but also anti-terrorism, fight against terrorism, also climate change. And we were opposing this idea because we didn't believe that the intentions of Russia are positive. And now we see that probably this reliance on Russian energy resources is the Russian policy, just to make us more exposed to Russian energy resources. And now we have the outcome. And it is not so easy to overcome and to implement those necessary measures to reduce our dependence. But we have to do this. And now I see that my partners and my colleagues in European Union opened their eyes, woke up, and see Russia as it is. This is good for the looking to the future, and I hope that it will encourage and probably speed up those decisions which are critically needed for Europe as whole.
That's Lithuania's President Gitanas Nausėda speaking to me there. We'll have much more of our conversation tomorrow, including a discussion about his security concerns for the Baltic region. That warning from President Nausėda comes as the International Energy Agency warns sanctions against Russia are threatening to create a global supply shock, the effects of which it says cannot be overstated. It estimates 3 million barrels per day of Russian oil could be taken out of the market as a result of international sanctions. Currently, Moscow sends 8 million barrels of crude and other refined products daily across the world. The agency warned only Saudi Arabia and the UAE have enough spare production capacity to offset the shortfall in Russian output. And just hours ago, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson arrived in Saudi Arabia as part of a tour of oil-producing states. The BBC's Laura Kunzberg has more on that story.
Giving up Russian oil and gas is the way the West hopes to hurt President Putin. But the cost of filling up has already surged, and a sudden withdrawal of those resources would be a drastic shock to the economy. So the Prime Minister says he wants to build an international coalition to plug the gap, and will be talking to the leaders of the UAE and Saudi Arabia about supplying more energy. Opposition parties and some conservatives too are uneasy about the government's association with Saudi Arabia. But for the government, handling the fallout of the conflict in Ukraine means what one source described as hard-headed decisions.
That's the BBC's Laura Kunzberg reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.